Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Scripture alone. If you've hung out with any Lutherans long enough, you have undoubtedly heard this phrase. And if you've been a Lutheran long enough, you've probably uttered it yourself. And if you're a lifelong Lutheran, you probably even know the phrase in Latin, sola scriptura, scripture alone. We stand firm on this foundational statement, and we sometimes even use it as a rally cry when in mixed circles of those non-Lutheran denominations. Now, Luther once said that Scripture alone is the true Lord and Master of all writings and doctrine on earth. If that is not granted, what is Scripture good for? And Paul, in his letter to Timothy, writes something similar. He says this, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You see, we Lutherans, we hold fast to Scripture. We cling to Scripture because we recognize that in, with, and under the letters that are printed on the page, we find God's power, God's grace. But we also recognize that within these pages, we can also learn about God, who He is, and what He has done for us. Every word of Scripture teaches us something about Him. It reveals to us something about Him. But sometimes the lesson is not quite so obvious. And I think of today's Old Testament passage as such an example. What is being revealed about God in these Scripture verses? Listen again just to the second section of that reading, starting in verse 27. See, we're in the middle of this conversation that Abraham is having with God. And they're discussing saving these two cities. And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 50 or 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, 45. He said, "I will not destroy if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." And then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, what have we learned about God in that passage? Is it that God demands justice? A God that seeks it out and releases it on those who won't submit to His authority? Or maybe we have learned that we have a God whose decisions can be influenced by the petitions of man. Now, these are true. But is there more that's hidden in these passages? Is there something else that we can learn about him this morning? I believe that there is. As the scene plays out, we could almost hear the desperation in Abraham's voice as he pleads for the lives of the righteous. Will God really count them among his enemies? Abraham knows that Lot and his family reside there, and so there's urgency in his negotiation. For the sake of 10, Abraham pleads. He recognizes that this is a life and death situation for those that he loves. And God, he's a God of anger, a God that has come to pour out his judgment on the people of these cities. His voice is thunderous, determined. The time has come. The time is now. Judgment will be handed down. The only question is to whom it will be given. The people of the city deserve God's justice, don't they? They've wronged God. So isn't it proper to demand justice in response? We demand justice when somebody wrongs us. Can there be any more tension, any more stress in these moments? You see, the cup of judgment is in God's right hand. And Sodom, Gomorrah are about to drink from it. Hearts are pumping. Adrenaline is rushing. Emotions are rising. It's like a climax to an action movie. But this is not fiction. There's no leaving the movie theater with the peacefulness that all of this was made up. You see, people are going to die. Real people are going to die. And people are going to be spending an eternity in hell. Real people. Can it get any more climactic than this? But there's something else hidden. Hidden behind the thunderous voice of God and the anxious cries of Abraham. There's something that is quietly hiding in the background, waiting in the wings, so to speak. It's something that is just as powerful a lesson. Actually, even more powerful a lesson for us. But it's something that we can easily miss if we don't look for it. And what is that? What could be so powerful, so important, yet so overwhelmed by the actions playing out in the foreground of history's stage? And why would God seemingly hide it from us? But you see, what we find hidden, what we find subdued, only appears this way when portions of Scripture are isolated from each other. And this passage is one such example. When we extract it from the story of God, when we read it as just an independent event, we lose out on the master storyline. And when that happens, the things of God become hidden from us. And so, if we believe what Paul says, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training, for righteousness, then we must read all Scripture. For it is in there, in the complete Word of God, that He makes Himself known. So, what I'd like to do is place this account in the context of this master story, because when we do, that which seems to be hidden becomes so obvious as to be inescapable. It is something that is louder than the thunderous voice of God, and it's more peaceful than the anxious pleas of Abraham. You see, when we place this account alongside all the other accounts of God, there can be no denial that what God reveals about Himself in all of Scripture, in the complete Word, is compassion. Over and above all, He reveals His unmeasurable compassion for His creation. For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. This is what God said. He would have compassion on even 10 people who turned their faces to Him. He would destroy the rest, but have compassion on them. And this wasn't the first time He sought those who sought Him. In the first garden, after that fall, He searched the hearts of Adam and Eve. And even though He found them sinful, He found them still looking upon Him. And it was the same during the time of Noah. You see, time and time again, we find God searching for those who are searching for Him. And time again, we find God pouring out His compassion on those who turn toward Him. But even all those accounts are not the complete story, but simply just a foretaste for the ultimate act of God's compassion. You see, even though the cup of judgment was in God's hand, and even though Sodom and Gomorrah drank from it, the judgment of those cities was only but a drop from that cup. Even in this act, God showed compassion by withholding all of His wrath on all who had rejected and turned away from Him. So that cup was still full after He had destroyed the cities, and it would stay full until His Son would hang from the cross and drink its contents completely. This is the compassion of God, that He would withhold His full judgment from us and instead pour it out completely on the only one who could consume it. The wrath of God, shown in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, was only a foretaste the destruction that we deserve to be released upon us. But that destruction, that which was due us, was instead handed over to his son. And his son received it in our place. This is the God of Scripture. This is who is revealed to us. A God of compassion. A God of mercy. A God who will pour out his judgment on his own son instead of pouring it out on all of us. Do you recognize this God? You only will through Scripture alone. Please pray with me. Lord, it is through your word that you reveal to us who you are. You are a God who loves, who redeems, who saves. We pray you continue to shine your face upon us, that we would remain turned towards you in all our days and in all our ways. In your name we pray. Amen.